Zedon, thinking out loud in color.
Does he know this is just audio?
January 19th, 2006.
I'm Tim Shadle.
Hi, welcome back to Zedon. Good to be back and talking with you in 2006. Happy belated new year for everybody. This is first podcast of the year, so it's always exciting to enter a new chapter. Thought today we'd start off talking about JSF. It's been one of the topics that I've wanted to podcast about for a while, but I really haven't figured out exactly the way I wanted to approach it. We've been using JSF at work for, you know, since about May or March of last year. So what does that make it? 8, 9 months, something like that, at least. And it's been an interesting experience. We've gone through a couple different frameworks. We started out a couple years ago. We were using Struts, like the vast majority of the world, of Java, I should say. And then we entered into a period where we were setting up a lot more developers. We were going to be training several people. We had just brought in a couple new technical leads. And so we were having a technical lead architect discussion with you know, the architect there. And you know, we were trying to decide what direction we were going to go. We were interested in component frameworks because of the hype around Tapestry and JSF and all the things that components could deliver. Most of our focus is internal applications, not really a whole lot even external facing, although we have some. The idea of being able to create reusable components and being able to have, you know, an address widget that shows up on this application and use the same address widget on the other application was really kind of interesting to us, because there's a lot of things that are common across applications, even though a lot of the slices of our application that we develop are for different business uses altogether. So the component idea seemed like it would be something worth investing the time in. At the time, we had checked out Tapestry, and there was some interest in it, but there wasn't as much projected support, I guess you could say, projected adoption of Tapestry as JSF. And this would have been, let's see, November of 2004, really, when we were starting to look at which way we're going to go. We had recently had several months worth of development with Spring that had gone very well. So another thing that we brought up was, okay, well, let's consider using Spring MVC. We tried Spring MVC out for a couple months, mainly as a way to see, we want to get off of Struts, we want to move to something where it might be fairly easy to drop that out and go with a JSF application. In our use of Spring MVC, we wanted to have a richer object graph backing up our forms, and at the time we couldn't find a solution to do what we wanted. And so after a couple months of playing with Spring MVC, we said, okay, let's go with JSF, because it seems to be the leading component contender for future support. So we really began JSF in earnest at the early part of last year. So like I said, somewhere between March and May. And since then, we've trained a lot of new developers on JSF. We've written a lot of... we've had a number of new web applications that we've written in JSF. Most of the middle tier and the back end tier have been kind of a Spring Hibernate sort of approach. We've got some web services, and we have on our public website some EJB stuff left around. But the bulk of all of our work has been on the front end. Has been JSF. And we've had probably 20 to 30 developers that have been exposed to JSF and have been had assignments in doing JSF work over the past year. So the perspective from my point of view with JSF is, after this experience, I'm really not interested in using JSF on another commercial project. There's a whole laundry list of things that really just, I don't know, just don't fit well with me. But let's start with one of the things that I find most irritating. And that is that everything in JSF is a post. All of the links are posts instead of get requests. So stepping back from the HTTP spec, when you do a GET request, it's supposed to be guaranteed to be side effect free. So it's important that you be able to run the GET request multiple times and have the results return appropriately and not have it adversely affect the server in any way. So the idea is that when you want to modify something, you use a post request that'll modify the server state. It'll have side effects or whatnot. And then browsers or user agents of some sort are supposed to protect against posts, and that's why you always see a little pop-up, hey, you submitted post stuff, do you really want to resubmit it? If you ever, yeah, you've seen that in the pop-ups in the browser. But this has some really strange side effects, really strange problems, is that because of that, if your URL in your browser, when you click a link, doesn't change very frequently. If you notice, that if you go through a JSF website, it's like you get a fairly static URL, and it moves around depending on what form you actually fill out. And if you are clicking links and it's using JavaScript to invoke a hidden form and do a post, then most of the time the browsers keep the URL to be the same. So as you're traveling through, you really can't bookmark a site and say, okay, let me get back to this page. Now, I mean, on the surface, this seems like a silly thing. Okay, who cares about having you bookmark a site? We have a very intense application. We're not, you know, serving up content. We're not serving up content that's, you know, supposed to be browsable or supposed to be whatever. But you know, when you start trying to talk about JSF, you're going to get a lot of people that are going to approach writing any of the tools they use with JSF. So, okay, so you start thinking, if I'm not able to do a GET request, if everything I've got to do is got to go through a post, then how do we do things like a blog? I mean, you've got permalinks. Anybody that's used a blog knows you can click on the blog title for a post, and you'll get a page that shows the post, and that URL, in theory, is supposed to be good forever, or, you know, for a long period of time. You're supposed to be able to link against that and always get back to that post. That's just one of the fundamental ways that the blog network, you know, the network effect of being able to link to other content of interest and comment on that content is supposed to work. I mean, the whole idea of the web is really based around links, obviously. So when I say you can't bookmark something, it's not just a user can't mark it in their favorites and boohoo. It's that all of a sudden one of the fundamental things that allows us to collaborate over the web, one of those fundamental assumptions and tools is now defunct. I mean, now nothing that you write can be linked to directly with a deep kind of a permalink. Well, going even further than that, if you go ahead and look at some of the sites that have had some massive popularity because of what they've allowed users to do, sites like Flickr and Delicious, with the ability to add tags and then look at pages that will display things that are tagged with a particular tag, like Java. I mean, you tag, look at pictures that are of Java conferences or whatever you want to see. If you want to look at, you know, links that are related to Java, you can go delicious.tag/Java, and you'll pull it right up. And again, this is something where the URL acts in a way like a deep link into getting content that is of use to users. So these sites allow each person individually to contribute links, and then the network effect is such that, you know, users can get and look at those links in a whole lot of different ways and discover content that they hadn't been able to discover before. And again, that's the kind of application that just falls down if you're going to try to do JSF and everything's a post. Look at Google. I mean, how many times have you done a Google search, grabbed the URL, and dropped it into an email or sent it through Tiny URL and sent it to somebody to say, hey, take a look at this, or an Amazon search. And the ability to take and grab a link and send it to somebody else is absolutely, you know, it's just an everyday experience for a lot of people. I mean, you're using IM. Half the reason to use IM is so that you can send links to each other, links to somebody else. Is, hey, take a look at this right now, and then we'll keep talking, because that link has got content that's relevant to our discussion. So what ends up happening is, you know, if we were to contrast this with REST, which stands for Representational State Transfer, the idea behind REST is it really describes the architecture that's allowed the web to thrive. And forgive me, I don't have the name in front of me of the guy that wrote his PhD dissertation on this. I'll put it in the show notes. But the idea behind REST is that you can request a resource. The endpoint of a URL is a noun, and that noun is something that then you can start treating with. You can talk intelligently about caching and proxying, and you can talk about changing that noun through the verbs that HTTP supplies, like put and post and delete. And so at that point, if you're talking about something like a blog article, then the permalink is a link down to a post that, and then there again, that's the noun that's central to the idea of the permalink, or the tags. And so what happens is, when you're in that IM conversation, you send someone a link, you're basically grabbing a shortened way to refer to a particular state of a resource. So it's a web page that looks a certain way that you want to be able to discuss. So it's, I mean, really, you've got in your head, you could think of it as a cached version of this page, and you want to talk about what you read on that page. So you just grab the URL and send it. I mean, it's a simple thing, but the implications that it has on the underlying architecture are very large. And in my mind, JSF really, really violates some of those key principles that allow the web to work so well and allow people to interact with applications in a way that they don't notice that the application's there, but can get what they want done. You know, and so as people have a chance to use those links, to link to them from blog reading to find them in Google. I mean, heck, if Google can't browse your site and can't find this page has this URL because everything's behind a post, how in the world is it going to actually support being able to index your site and make it available for Google? I mean, it seems like you're almost shooting yourself in the foot, because now good portions of your site are not indexable. And there's going to be portions of your site that are not, that you're going to want to have content on that's going to be dynamic, that you're going to want Google to index. So it just seems like it's a terrible difficulty. One that is a little closer to home, being I mentioned that we don't have a whole lot of our stuff public facing at this time, but we do have a lot of internal stuff. And so we thought, well, hey, we don't, this doesn't apply to us. I mean, we're not in the big, great, big internet, and so therefore JSF's okay. And we don't have to worry about all this REST stuff. We don't have to worry about this deep linking. It's all a bunch of hullabaloo that's, I mean, we thought we could get around it. And turns out we were just wrong, because we have, you know, the breadth of the applications we have to write and to support internally is reasonably wide. So we have more than one WAR file, and they're sometimes in more than one application server, depending on historical reasons or whatnot. And so there are times when one WAR file needs to link to the server, you know, a page that's in another WAR file. So we need to be able to pull up an application over there, and we say, oh, by the way, and I want you to pull out for Bob Smith. And I've got his ID right here. But you can't send query parameters either in the JSF things. We searched over and over again to try to figure out a way to really do this cleanly, and we could not find any way to send query parameters to JSF. Everything in JSF is hidden inside the 7-layer lifecycle, or I like to call it the 7-layer burrito. It's just it's just impossible to figure out exactly how to interact with a JSF application in some very traditional ways. And again, it's those traditional RESTful ways that have brought a lot of success to the web, and a lot of success in interact, letting applications interact with each other with a minimal amount of knowledge of exactly how each application is programmed. So what we end up doing is we end up having a JSP file, and we link directly to the JSP file, send the parameter, the JSP opens up, if I recall correctly, it opens up faces context, eventually gets down to the request object, pulls off the parameter, locates a backing bean with session scope, stuffs the ID in there, and forwards on to a JSF page that then can pull up the appropriate page, read the ID out of the session variable. But it's a hack. It's a total hack to be able to get around a limitation of JSF. If anybody had used some of these other web services like the Delicious or the Amazon or even a Google, it seems like these kind of restrictions would not be there in JSF. And I can understand why they exist in terms of if you have a very narrow view and you're concentrated on JSF, you think, well, we have to have everything be a post because of the 7-layer lifecycle. We could have events occurring at any point during the processing of this lifecycle that occurs even with a GET request or even with any kind of request. We could have things that are side effects, and so we can't do that. So we've just got to wrap everything in a post to be safe. Well, yeah, I mean, I can understand from that point of view, but if you step back and look at the larger architecture of the internet, of the web applications, even for internal ones, that decision right there by itself doesn't make any sense. So my favorite question to ask for people that do JSF is, okay, could you write a blog in it? Could you write Google in it? And it just right there is a major architectural problem. Let's see, just as a preview for upcoming episodes, I'm going to go more into other reasons why I really find JSF to be inappropriate for future web development, and including stuff that has to do with security and HTML, AJAX, tool use, our experiences with My Faces, component writing, and trying to talk to new developers about how to do that. But for now, I think it's time for me to sign off, and I'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, and if you've got anything to say, feel free to leave a comment on the web blog or email me at zdotpodcast@gmail.com. That's zdotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.